NBA Australia, how you going?
That's right, welcome to NBA Australia for Wednesday, November 21. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every day of NBA action and rep Straya just a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. All right, so today's show covers off the falling out of the J.R. Smith and the Cavs relationship, the ongoing Wizard woes, and a whole bunch of Markelle Fultz mess that just continues to get even weirder. It's pretty awesome. So that'll be covered with all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife, old mate, no mates, spud of the night, and better than Lonzo Ball. And of course, there's Yeah Nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Steakhouse. Come on in for some flame grill takes. And because it is Wednesday, that means we have a new Mark Brakey, sweaty, hairy guy of the week. And a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. Legendary. We'll also preview and pick all the NBA games for tomorrow, which is massive. It's the pre-Thanksgiving slate. And we'll finish off with a brand new Rowdy's Recos with Ryan Brockoff. So let's get to it. NBA's back. This is NBA Australia episode 187. Let's go!
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Oh, you better! Or you better watch out for the attack of the dead coach bouncing before the coach's dead wizards, I guess? Holy crap, that was wild! Unbelievable stuff. Oh, maybe get clear of the attack of the hennied up J.R. Smith, just saying, after the Cavs sort of jettisoned him to the side of the road, or maybe watch out for Markelle Fultz's lawyer. Holy crap. So today's news, we're going to cover that in the daily whip around is the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. And J.R. Henny Smith. After telling Jason Lloyd of The Athletic that the Cavs' plan this year was to always basically not win, to tank, to lose. The Cavs read this and were like, hey, JR, yeah, we're going to need you not to come into work tomorrow. Okay, thanks, bye. And they were like, yeah, just fuck off, would you? And he's like, yeah, no problems, dickheads. So now the Cavs are working on a trade for the title-winning JR Henny. What do you reckon he can end up? The Lakers? Ah, oh, that'd be too perfect, wouldn't it? So this all happened basically in the last 24 hours. There was a wild little whirlwind of J.R. Smith. Don't forget, this is the starting shooting guard for the last four NBA finalist Cleveland Cavaliers. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. He's from
Cleveland.
So this is wild. J.R., even though he's been an absolute spud pretty much like the last 24 months, ever since he got paid, still, title-winning shooting guard. Could still probably fill it up if you maybe give him a bit of a chance, but the Cavs want no part of it. Other news, Markelle Fultz, oh Jesus. So after he went 0 of 2 in his 7 minutes yesterday, the Sixers are like, that's cool, man. Yeah, well, look, we're not going to play that much. We've got TJ just here. And so apparently, according to David Aldridge, at the direction of his attorney, Raymond Brothers, Markelle Fultz is scheduled to see a shoulder specialist early next week. Per Brothers, that's his attorney, don't forget, Fultz will not participate in team practices or games until after the specialist has had a chance to evaluate him. Holy jeebus crap. How's that? The number one pick last year's draft has got a lawyer involved. And is all like, hey, bruh, so what do you reckon? Should I play basketball? And the lawyer's like, go see a doctor, dickhead. Which, I don't know, I probably could have told Markelle Fultz that. And probably would have been substantially cheaper. But obviously the very interesting phrasing here is at the direction of his attorney, which maybe, you know, the start of grounds for a possible suit. Maybe Markelle is thinking about suing team doctors, misdiagnosing or handling the treatment in his rehab and his injury from last year. Who knows? But this is fascinating. Could mean a lot of wild times in Philly. Love it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Another big story that's being sort of talked about at the moment is the Sacramento Kings. With Dave Yeager, their coach, reports popped up this week about a power struggle in Sacramento with their assistant GM, Brandon Williams.
Hi, I'm Brandon. Look, I'm an assistant GM, man. So, look, I'm really powerful and stuff.
All right, settle down, mate. He was clearly leaking his problems with Jaeger to Yahoo, Chris Haynes. Big story about this, saying how Jaeger keeps playing Ned Bjelica, Belly Bjelica, over Marvie Bagge, the number two pick in this year's draft. And obviously, Brandon Williams wants Marvie Bagge to play. And Jaeger's like, hey, mate, we just signed Bjelica. We're going to give him a bit of a run. Your boss, Vlade Divac, he's like, oh, come on, bro, I've got to play Belly Bjelica. I sold him away from Philly, bro. And then Brandon Williams is like, nah, man, play Marvie Bagge. And Jaeger's in the middle of it going, what the fuck is happening? So Sam Amick of The Athletic had a big slam piece about how the Kangs don't want to be the Kangs anymore and fire Jaeger because that'd be dumb. So he pulled no punches and being like, hey, Brandon Williams, fuck off, dickhead. And it was great because Jaeger like reckons that Williams has wanted to replace him since last year. And everyone's like, has Brandon Williams sort of looked at the fucking standings? This is the first time we're over 500 this far into November. It's only the third time we've done this in the last 12 fucking years. So maybe we should keep Dave Jaeger. Like the entire fan base is in uproar. The fucking media there are just like, what the fuck is this asshole talking about? And yeah, that's what it seems like. You know, allegedly Brandon Williams is leaking all this shit and just trying to put a bit of pressure on Jaeger to play his guy, and it's backfired spectacularly. So the Kings had to come out and go, look, man, we fucking love Dave Jaeger. He's awesome. We're not going to fire him. Brandon Williams is now sitting there going, oh, I'm going to get shit canned, aren't I? But it was really good of a huge breakdown from Amick, basically talking about the power struggles in the Sacramento front office. Who's got power? Who's after power? How many different assistant GMs are there to Vlade? Because you got Payer as well. And Matina is basically Vivek Ranadive's point lady in the entire operation and has been there for basically the last 20 years. And she's out there kicking ass and taking names. And yeah, it seems to be a bit of a typically Sacramento mess. So essentially, if they don't fire Dave Jaeger, that's a good thing, right? What are y'all fucking doing? We'll talk about that later in year now too. But it's very, very fun, interesting times in the Kings. Even when they're doing well, they seem to fuck it up. And then finally, the Wizards. They looked absolutely horrible in the first half today. And then finally righted the ship thanks to a tired-ass Clippers team on the end of a road trip and on a back-to-back. But still, they all clearly hate each other and someone's going to get fired or traded. And it's all very funny. And it's just not slowing down whatsoever. Going into this game, like, we basically had a whole bunch of Scott Brooks out there going, oh, nah, man, it's all good. You know, it's all love, man. We're all good mates, man. You know, when it's a competitive situation, like we're competitive people. I've been around the league for 30 years, man. And this happens, man. It's like, I'm not entirely sure if like every player tells their coach to fuck off and calls them basically a dickhead to everyone in front of everybody. But it doesn't really seem really that good or ideal to me, right? Just saying. All right, the wraps for today. We only had four games. It was lovely. Raptors, they beat the Magic on a Danny Green game winner. Oh, Danny, not the boxer Green. 93-91, the Raptors win in Orlando in the Magic Kingdom. Orlando came back from 17 down in this as well, which is wild. Smashed them in the third quarter. Raptors had just enough to get over the hump in the end. Magic, they were led by Evan Don't Google Me Fournier. He had 27 points. And Vooch had 14 points, 18 rebounds, making his case for the Eastern Conference All-Star team. Yeah, that's what he's doing. Vooch does this. Starts off amazing. Now let's see if he can keep it going past fucking November. Azza Gordo, the star of Uncle Drew, 16-9. Shot 5 of 15, though. Not great. Speaking of not shooting well, 2 of 10 for T-Ross. Finished with 4 points. Gross. Johnny Isaac and Mo Bamba weren't great either. 9-5 and 7-5 each. Not great. Just not enough from the Magic, especially getting nothing from Jonathan Simmons. It's a bit of a sputter than I candidate there, 0-4. The Raps, Kawhi, he shot 18 points on 16 shots. Also had, 6 assists? Wasn't too bad, was Kawhi. But also wasn't that great. Pascal Siakam, he had 15 points, 9 rebounds, crushed it. Danny, not the box of green heroics much. That was amazing, that shot. It's like, oh shit, he's got the ball. Oh, he's risen. Oh, he's hit it. Fuck. 13 points. He had Kyle, big booty, Kyle Lowry. He had 9.7 assists. Not a great game for Kyle. And Serge Ibaka had 14-9. Magic looking pretty good, basically, of late. They've beaten the Lakers. Who else did they beat? They beat a couple of really good teams randomly. Yeah, well, not good teams. They beat the Knicks. Oh, yeah, that's right. They beat the Sixers, then they beat the Lakers. That was awesome. In the meantime, though, they lost to the Wizards. Ugh, gross. That's why you can't trust the Magic, man. You just can't do it. So the Magic are now 9-9, and the Raptors moved to 14-4. Unreal. Next game, Clippers go into Washington to play the Wizards, and the Washington Wizards win 125-118 in an absolute barn stomper. This is wild. The Wizards were down 27 in this. They were getting their absolute asses handed to them as well. And then the Clippers just got very, very, very tired. This was 73-54 at the half. Unbelievable. Yeah. So look, Clippers kind of just faded down the stretch. It was still very, very close. Basically up until the last 40 seconds and the Wiz sort of pulled away. So this was after Lou Williams got tossed in the last minute as well. And the Clippers just didn't have enough. 29-9 for Tobias. Never nude Harris. He's been very good this year. Speaking of all-star pushes, Tobias Harris has basically been as good as you can be without being an all-star. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander smashed. We'll talk about him later. 20 points, 9 rebounds for Montrezl Harrell. Sweet Lou Williams, before he got tossed, had 17. And 9 points. 9 more points for the regional manager, Mike Scott. 3 or 4 from the field. And from 3. Absolutely crushing it, mate. Gortat Marcin, the Polish hammer. Not much revenge game for him. He had 9-7 against his old team. And Danilo Gallinari had a shocker. We'll talk about him later. The Wiz, John Wall, 30 points, 8 assists. Bradley Beal had 27-7 assists. The two, we're not that close, but we don't hate each other. Promise, bros, not bad. 57 combined points and 15 assists. Pretty good. Otto, I like to get Blatto Porter. He had 11 points and 14 rebounds. El Jefe Green had another good game. It's one of those random times El Jefe just pops off and just has like a good game here and there. He had 27 rebounds as well. Kelly Oubre Jr., he started. Bit of a shuffle on the Wiz starting lineup, moving Keith Morris to the bench for Kelly Oubre and having Otto starting a power forward. He started, only played 12 minutes though. Didn't really manage much, had 3 points. 12-5 for Keith off the bench. The Wiz moved to 6-11. The flip side of that, the Clips are 11-6. Clips still looking pretty good. Man, just need to get this road trip done and dusted, huh? The Miami Heat hosted the Brooklyn Nets. The Nets win. Unbelievable. 104-92. This is absolutely wild. Nets, look, they lost Caris LeVert against Miami last week. Turn around and beat them without him. It's unreal. Absolutely wild. So for the Heat, though, they're a bit shorthanded. They're without Goran Dragic, the flog, the Slovenian flog, Tyler Johnson and Kelly Olynyk. But they did have a Wingen Hassan Whiteside, who had a lazy 21 points and 23 rebounds. Josh Richardson. He had 16 points, 5 assists. Magruder had 15, 5, and 4. Wayne Ellington wasn't great. Put the fear of God into them early and then did a Wayne Ellington disappearing act. 2 of 8 from 3, ends up with 9 points. Justice Winslow only had 10, and James Bloodsport Johnson kickboxed his way to 1 of 7 shooting. Brutal 23 minutes for him. D-Wade's back as well. He had 13 minutes, 5 points on 2 of 8 shooting. But yeah, as mentioned, without Goran, Tyler, and Olynyk, the Heat just couldn't quite get there. The Nets basically went on a massive run, went on a 10-4 run, 10-2 run rather, late in the fourth. And most of that was from D'Angelo. D'Angelo Russell scored 8 straight in the fourth. It was unbelievable. Finished up with 20 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. D'Angelo, Fro Allen. The Nets are a different team when Jared Allen plays. He was very good. 13 points, 14 rebounds, 2 blocks, and Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer! 16 points, 7 assists, and a lot of extra effort from the Nets sort of extraneous dudes without Caris LeVert there. So Alan Crabb, Ed Davis, Rondé, Hollis Jefferson, and Damar Carroll had 8, 9, 10, 11, respectively. You know, that helps. And Joe Harris, the streak is over. He'd made a 3 in 32 straight games. Had 11 points in this, but missed all 5 of his threes. Rough one. Miami, they dropped to 6-11. The Nets moved to 8-10, which is absolutely wild. They're just behind Charlotte, Orlando, Boston, and the Pistons. That's insane, isn't it? And then finally, Portland went into New York City, went to the Mecca, played at MSG, and beat the New York Knickerbockers of New York City 118-114. We said the Blazers should smash. They were early, and then they weren't, but then they pulled it out. Which was just as well, because look, this was much tighter than it should be. It looked like they'd sort of pulled away in the third quarter. And then they kind of still hadn't. The Knicks just made it interesting, which was wild. Yeah, it's pretty tough. So Tim Hardaway, the lesser, he shot 10 of 21, 3 of 6 from 3, ended up with 32 points. 16 for Manny Moutier. That was pretty good. 7, 5, and 6 for Enos the Penis Cantor. 14 and 14. Pretty good. Noah Vonleh crushing it. Trey Burke, he had 19 points as well. But the Knicks, just not enough there with, especially with Kevo Knox and Mitch Robinson. Mitch Robinson was pretty good, 3 of 3. But Kevo Knox in his 13 minutes, 1 of 3. Didn't look very good at all out there. And, this is a damn shame. But our boy, Super Mario. Whoa, what were you doing, mate? You're killing me. Yeah, not that super today. 1 of 5 for Mario Zonia. For the Trailblazers, that's right. Your number one in the West, Portland Trailblazers. Absolutely unreal game from CJ McCollum. Absolutely crushed it, did Siege. He ended up with 31 points, big threes down the stretch too. Ended up shooting 5 of 9 from downtown. Dame Lillard hits the massive stay ahead too late in this as well. He ends up with 29 points, 8 assists. Evo Turner, 10-6 and 4. Only bench player to average over 8 points, 5 rebounds and 4 assists at the same time in the NBA. And Jusuf Nurkic, the Bosnian Beer, hello. 13 and 10 with 4 assists and 2 blocks. Great game from Nurk. The Knicks, they dropped to 4 and 14, which is unbelievable. They've lost 6 straight. That's the second worst in the NBA behind the Hawks, who have lost 8 straight. And the Trailblazers are sitting pretty at the top of the Western Conference at 12 and 5. Unreal. All right, so out of all that, what was the NBA Strayer approved performance of the night?
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That was literally the knife, Danny, not the box of green. Holy shit, that was a big game-winning shot. I mean, the Raptors need to win this as well. Like, Orlando are fucking pesky. They're just always in all these games. Ergo, they're 9-9, right? And they've been beating, as mentioned, the Lakers, the Sixers, etc. They could have almost beaten the Raptors, but Danny Green hits an amazing shot. That was great. So good stuff, Danny Green. And look, Dame Lillard came up fucking clutch as, mate, against the Knicks. He was huge, huge late game bucket to get the Blazers over the top of the Knicks. And CJ as well really just sort of kept them in it as the Knicks were really pushing for the win. So CJ and Dame, very, very good as well. But Danny Green, he gets the that's not a knife, that's a knife performance of the night. What about old mate, no mates though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, this is pretty obvious. J.R. Smith. Oh, Henny, what are you doing, mate? This is brutal. The Cavs don't want him. How long till the buyout? Because, I mean, who's going to trade for the poor guy? This sucks. But also, it's not like he said anything we weren't all thinking and didn't all know, right? It's all like, yeah. JR's like, yeah, man, the Cavs, God, I'm not entirely convinced they're trying to win. The Cavs are like, oh, no, we seriously are, bro. Like, nah, come on. And JR's like, oh, dudes, nah. Come on, man, I should start drinking again. What do you reckon? JR, definitely, he's literally now, he's old mate, no mate to the point where he's persona non grata in Cleveland. Where, that's right, Stephen A. Smith, in Cleveland.
Cleveland!
Yeah, so they don't want him around the team. They're like, yeah, just go work out by yourself. We'll try to trade you. JR's all right. All right, thanks, man. I'll keep getting paid and not have to go to work. This is fucking sick. So JR Smith is old mate, no mates in Cleveland, but who's the real winner here? Anyway, Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night.
It's got to be Jonathan Simmons. Oh, does it though? 0-4 from the field. No, look, it was going to be. And then, wait, what is that? That's a hawk. What I need the rooster. Fucking hell. Danilo Gallinari. Oh. Gross, what a spud of a game from Danilo Gallinari. 0-8 from the field for 3 points for the Rooster. Fucking hell, mate, that was absolutely brutal. Almost as brutal as my attempt at doing a Rooster call. 0-8, Danilo, mate. He did get a pretty handy rebound late, but Jesus Christ, he did not shoot well. That dude partied a little bit too hardy in Washington last night, I'll tell you that. Or maybe this afternoon. Who knows, Danilo? The pantsing of the night obviously goes to the Clippers. You guys had this. You were up 27 points and you lose. That is a pantsing and a half. Don't know what to tell you. The Wiz, they're absolutely reeling. They're an absolute rabble. Even if you're on a back-to-back Clippers, I feel like you should be able to take care of business. right there. Anyway, what about better than Lonzo Ball for today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Oh, this was almost Alonzo Trier or Mitch Robinson, the two Knicks rookies. They look very good. But nah, it's got to go to Shai again. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He is unreal. Absolutely tearing it up at the moment. In this game, he had 17 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. To go with the block, shot 6 of 11 from the field, and looked absolutely awesome. I'm loving Mishim Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He played only 29 minutes as well, kicked some ass, took some names, backed up a very good game against the Hawks, yesterday. So the clips on there back-to-back, he had 16, then had 17 today. Absolutely crushing it is Shai, and looks very, very, very handy. He's just so big. It's awesome. So good job, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think almost officially having a better season than Lonzo Ball. Maybe not quite as good as Trae Young, but absolutely crushing it. Good job, Clips. Good pick. Oh, how was that head fucking clash between, was it Jerome Robinson as well? Oh, that was brutal. Poor buggers. Yeah, not great. Not great at all. Was it Robinson? Shit, I can't even remember. Maybe it was Wallace. That's right. It was, what's his name? Tyrone Wallace. Brutal. Anyway, not good. Let's get on to Yeah Nahs right after these ones.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, it is time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, can the Wizards trade John Wall? Like, just can they? Yeah Nah. I mean, it's a big contract, but yeah. Look, there's no such thing as an untradeable contract at this point in the NBA. Even if that said contract ends up paying John Wall $40 million a year, you do get the feeling that someone like Orlando, Phoenix, Miami, New Orleans, they'd happily take John Wall if they can make a deal work, right? If they give up that amount of contracts back, maybe throw in a pick and or whatever. I think they'd sort of do it and just go, ah, fuck it. You know, we're paying John Wall shit ton of money. Hopefully he just works better on our team than on that shit can Wizards team. So yeah, he can be traded for sure. And I'd be surprised if he's still on the team by the end, by the All-Star break. You know? One win today. Like if they had a loss this game today, I think it would have just been all over. Scott Brooks would have been fired and they probably would have traded either Beal or Wall. But yeah, they get a bit of a stay of execution till after Thanksgiving. It's like they're the Thanksgiving turkeys. Didn't Trump stop doing that? Anyway, whatever. Next one, should Sacramento replace Dave Yeager? Oh, this is easy. Yeah, nah. Nah, no fucking way. They're over 500 in November for only the second time in the last 12 years. Come the fuck on, man. The fact that this even came up is the most Sacramento of all things. They're 9-8. And, like, come the fuck on, man. The fact that this came up is just the dumbest, most Sacramento-est thing ever. I hate it. I think Dave's a really good coach. He quite clearly also, however, pisses people off in organizations. Because, like, look how happy Memphis were to sort of move on from him. And now Brandon Williams is like, this guy sucks. Wouldn't mind having my own guy, you know what I'm saying? But Yeager, he was literally, like, sort of plucked away from Memphis by Sacramento. So, you know, bit of like, look, they also did the extensions for Yeager and Vlade at the same time. But apparently their assistants have their contracts coming up at the end of this year, so they're in a weird lame duck position. But Jaeger's a good coach, and Sacramento are actually winning and look good. So fuck off Brandon Williams or whoever the fuck wants to, like, get rid of him. That's the dumbest thing you ever heard. Truce. Next one. Will JR Henny Smith get traded? Yeah, nah. Nah. Ain't nobody training for JR. I mean, some Chinese team maybe, but even with his buyout next year of his, was it $17 million, $15 million? The buyout's only 3.8, so it's only going to count 3.8 against your cap. That's not going to help because he's not going to help, like, any team. And, like, even a certain former teammate of his is not going to be like, oh, man, I need shooters. Oh, I better get JR because, remember, game one of the finals last year, that didn't go great. So that certain former teammate of his who might be looking for shooters probably even doesn't need JR. And, like, do you think he's going to end up somewhere else and is, like, going to help a team? Like, maybe New Orleans, where they just need, like, more shooting. You can't really see him working out in too many other places, though, right? It's pretty weird. He's definitely not going to go to Utah. Denver could maybe use him. I mean, Phoenix, Jesus, that'd be a shit show. Anyway, JR, not long for much NBAing, I'd say. There's got to be a couple of other teams that maybe roll the dice with him, like maybe Miami if they're feeling like saucy. Maybe the Wizards if they're just like, you know what, fuck it. We'll have JR and Dwight Howard. That'd be hilarious. The Sixers, I mean, they need more shooting. They could pair him up with Wilson Chandler. That'd be neat. They got those guys, like, probably, you know, hanging out. A lot of tattoos between the two of them, too. Anyway, JR, can't see anyone trading for him because I don't know if anyone needs a guy, and he's going to get bought out regardless, and then they can just pick him up. Like, who gives a fuck? Anyway, another yeah, nah. Is Paul Pierce right? Are the Celtics the biggest disappointment in the NBA this year? Yeah, nah. I mean, shit. Yeah? I mean, look, just because they lost two games to Utah and Charlotte, the skies are suddenly falling, but they still might be. I mean, this is a team that I thought we should easily win 60 fucking games. They look completely out of sync, though, on offense, where it's like, to the point where it's just hard to even watch them on TV, right? You're just like, Jesus, this stinks. This isn't even very fun watching. And they're, what, bottom five offense, still a pretty good defense. They finagled the starting lineup in the game yesterday against Charlotte. They put in Bangers Baines for Gordo Hayward. Baines still only played 7 minutes, and Gordo still stunk down the stretch. So, I don't know. It's basically just going to be like, well, when Gordo gets healthier and healthier and healthier, we're going to hope that we get better. Is that their sort of thing? So, yeah, it's pretty disappointing for them to be sitting, basically, what, in sixth place in the East. They're 9-8, just above 500. Like, wild, man. Absolutely wild. The San Antonio Spurs are the second closest sort of disappointment for the year. Because, man, they're killing me. They've lost 6 of the last 10. And Utah are also not very, are also surprisingly bad. So it's pretty annoying. Anyway, final yeah nah for today. Do you think that Markel Fultz is going to sue the Sixers? Yeah nah! Ooh, maybe. I mean, why is he asking a lawyer? That's fucking weird. For real. So, I don't know, maybe it's just a little bit of like, you know, got to start documenting everything and just making sure we know what the fuck is happening. But yeah, this is fascinating. The idea of Markel Fultz getting a lawyer and maybe starting proceedings, like just having, you know, the wherewithal to go, look, hey man, this is how they've managed it. This is what I reckon. Now I'm not even playing and it's all a bit fucked up. Maybe it's a bit of brinksmanship. Maybe this new guy like checks shit out, this other doctor, and they figure out what the fuck's going on. Who knows? But I don't know if you can he sue him? It's going to be weird. Fascinating stuff, anyway. All right, time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. I think Dave Yeager is a pretty fucking good coach. I'm just saying, like, you can see it in his developmental skills. Like, I just think of all the other sort of dudes on Memphis. He was there as an assistant. So that's Mike Conley, Marc Gasol. And now at Sacramento, you've seen Buddy Hield take off. You've seen Diaz Fox smash it. You're even seeing Marvin Bagley kicking ass. So why would you think that Dave Yeager is a bad coach? It's fucking nuts, man. Nuts. And I don't know if this is unpopular as well, but like the Cavs should have been trying to tank this entire year. Like it's dumb that they haven't been. Like it would have been smart. Just go, fuck it. We're going to trade Kevin Love and we're tanking. Let's do it. All right, and then finally, Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday at Outback, and that means we're going to have 2-for-1 Alice Springs chicken. That's right. It's roadkill emu. Only at Outback. Today's flame grill take is the Cavs aren't tanking, because if you really wanted to tank, you'd want to keep J.R. Smith and play him as many minutes as possible. So the Cavs, not tanking, still trying to win. Only at Outback. That's today's flame grill take. I mean, I'm not sure if that's a giant take, but it is about true, right? I mean, if you were tanking, you'd want JR there. Just makes sense. All right, we'll be back in a second with Australian Player Watch. And what else? We've got the Mark Bradkey Memorial Sweaty Guy Hall of Fame. And a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. Right after, let's say, these ones.
G'day, this is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All Right, we're back. It's time for the Australian Player Watch. We had absolutely zero NBA players, Australian NBA players playing today, which is a bit of a tough one, I'll tell you that much. So, look, no Big Simo, no Jonah Bolden. We don't even have like a bit of an update on Jonah's leg injury yet. But what we do have is Big Simo playing New Orleans tomorrow. Then we've got Bangers playing New York tomorrow. What else we got? We've got King Dalian Thon going up against Portland. We've got Rowdy Brockhoff going up against the Nets. We've got Patty Thrills playing Memphis. And you've got Jingler and Dante Exum playing Sacramento. So we've got a lot of games coming up tomorrow where we're going to have every single one playing apart from Jonah. It's pretty good. Pretty good. For the G League guys, Mitchy Creek played for the Nets today. 14 points, 0 of 2 from 3 for Mitch. He had, 4 rebounds, 3 assists and a steal as well, averaging 13.2 points for the Nets so far. 7.8 rebounds, 3.2 assists, and 1.2 steals. Meanwhile, Denga Dell and Isaac Humphries both didn't play the last couple of days, but Isaac Humphries is averaging 8.9 points, 5.6 rebounds, 1 assist and a steal for the Erie Bayhawks, and Denga Dell for Raptors 905, averaging 11.6 points, 5.3 rebounds, and 2.7 assists. So that gets us to the Mark Bradke sweaty, hairy guy of this week. And this was a fun one today, just watching that Knicks-Portland game. And you're like, oh, this will be fun. You've got Nurk and you've got Enes the Penis Kanter. That's right. Enes the Penis out there crushing it and looking very, very sweaty and very, very gross. The best thing about watching Enes the Penis play is he has that Mark Bradke sort of memorial idea of like, you look at him, you look away, you look back, and you're like, oh shit, it's everywhere. It's like the flop sweat, kind of like he's just taking two steps, and then it's like, it's everywhere. You need a towel boy just for him. So anyway, Enes didn't have a great game today, but still got a sweat up. So he became our Mark Bradke memorial sweaty, hairy guy of the week. Not bloody bad. And today, oh, I love a good Wednesday because you know what that means. That's right. It's a great moment in NBA Australia stat history.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
Oh, and it is a great one today because it's one of my all-time favorites. It's King Dally of Maryborough, smasher of tins, first of his name, snapper of knees, gatherer of loose balls, and in his rookie season, it was bang on, basically, I'm going to say 5 years ago, 2013, King Dally was only 14 games into his NBA career, well, 8 games he'd actually gotten on the court for, and against Patty Thrills Mills, in only his second start, did Dally get out there and absolutely bloody crush it, hit 6 of 8 from the field, ends up with 14 points, 4 steals, showing that defensive bloody nous, 2 assists and 2 rebounds. Absolutely unreal showing from the King of Maryborough. This was amazing. 1 of 2 from 3. He obviously showed that, look, he is not to be trifled with. Absolutely crushed it. The Spurs got beaten by 30. But that didn't matter. Dally went out there and crushed it in his rookie year. Just a little wee tacker running around, getting the ball, showing hustle, showing heart, and being the King Dally of Maryborough, first of his name, smasher of tins, gatherer of loose balls that we all know and love. So good on you, Dally. That is a classic great moment in NBA Australia stat history. All right, we'll be back in a second with a Joe Ingles Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check and inspiration post and a massive, massive, massive game preview right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Australia. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Australia. All right, we are back. It's time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. And as mentioned, today is a Joe Ingles inspiration board because Joe Ingles posted on his Instagram a pretty amazing photo of him with his two twins with the caption, 10 days away, nothing better. Heart emoji, just hugging his two kids, just going, this is great, it's good to be home. Unreal stuff. Good on you, Joe. Jingling Joe Ingles, absolute ledge. Just saying. On ya. So that was a good one. Pretty inspiring too. Give your kids a hug. All right, let's get stuck into this amazingly massive, huge pre-Thanksgiving Day slate of game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
What do you reckon there, Inadvertent Bane? Is this pretty big?
I believe it's massive because it's the day before Thanksgiving and then there's no games on Friday.
Wow, that is pretty amazing. So, 12 games on Australia Thursday because there is no games on our Friday because that'd be Thanksgiving Day in America. And the NBA doesn't play. They let the NFL have that day. NBA instead gets Christmas Day, which is sick. So, let's get stuck in. 12 amazingly fun games. We've got Indy at Charlotte. Maybe we've got no word on Victor Oladipo being back or not versus a very, very Johnny Storm Kemba Walker at the moment. Wow. Kemba's just absolutely, he scored 103 points these last two games. Let's see if we can keep it up against Indy or if Domantas Sabonis or Souvlaki King can stop him in his tracks. Let's do some live, I don't know, odds as well and see what everyone's basically sort of thinking about who's going to win, who's favored and whatnot. It's going to be an interesting one with Victor not being there. Charlotte are favored by 3 points. I feel like I might take Indy. Oh, no, I'll take Charlotte. If no Victor, I'm going to take Charlotte. Even if Victor gets back, I think Indy might be just a little bit discombobulated. They had a massive game from Domantas Sabonis the other night. I don't know if they can replicate that. Philly taking on New Orleans. Oh, shit, yes. Anthony Davis versus Joel Embiid. That's unreal. The weirdest part is Philly, they haven't lost at home yet this year. They're 3.5-point favorites. I'll take them. New Orleans have been very, very good, but they've also been very, very inconsistent. And Philly are consistent in one thing, winning at home. So I'll take the Sixers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 76ers. Embiid and Simo with Jimmy Butts crushing it. The New York Knickerbockers of New York City up against the Boston Celtics. I went to this 2 years ago in Boston. That was awesome. Just around Thanksgiving. It was sick. Boston, they need to get out of their rut. They've lost two games. New York could not come at a better time. Boston have favored by 14 points. Knicks are on a back-to-back, though, so I might take the Celtics even with the 14. I think they absolutely smoke them. Lakers at Cavs. Oh, LeBron's coming home. Ohio, this is for you. Tell ya, what a game. Can't believe JR's going to miss it, though, as well. That's brutal. Kind of robs us of a million viewings of him not realizing what time it was in the finals last year, right? It's like, you know, the meme. Oh, look at this. Oh, JR's going the wrong way. And he's like, oh, I didn't know what time it is, man. What are we doing? Thought it was tied. Classic. Absolute classic. What do you reckon? Who's going to be favored in this one? Lakers, Cavs. Lakers are 9-point favorites in Cleveland. What do you reckon there, Stephen A. Smith? Is it Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Yeah, I'll take the Lakers. Thanks. Even taking the 9 points, I'll do it. I reckon LeBron comes home and smashes the Cavs. Going to hurt, but what are you going to do? Phoenix play the Chicago Bulls in Chicago. It's a 1993 NBA Finals matchup. That's pretty good. These two are very bad, and so it's pretty evenly matched. Suns, 2-point underdogs. Chicago getting -2 on this. I might take Chicago. Yeah, maybe. Devin Booker might absolutely smash Chicago, considering that no one on that team plays any defense. So Devo Booker might go for about 48, but I feel like Chicago might just have enough weapons to get past them. Phoenix have just been maddeningly inconsistent. So I'll take Chicago there, -2. What else we've got? Oh, we've got the Spurs, Memphis. That should be pretty interesting, I guess. What do you reckon there? Spurs have lost 4 of the last 6. You've got the Gasol Hermanos. That's going to be pretty fun. It's the El Spaniardo Bowl. What do you reckon about that one? The Grizz are 3-point underdogs in this, which is pretty wild considering the Spurs have been so inconsistent. But I might take the Spurs at home -3 just because, you know, why not? It's just what you got to do. Sacramento, they play Utah. Dave Yeager wanting to prove he's awesome. What do you reckon? So is Quinn Snyder over there for Sacramento. That should be pretty interesting. Two pretty good young coaches, I'd say. Sacramento, look, Utah, they're finally home after a big road trip. 9.5-point favorites, though. I might take Sacramento with the 9.5. They might lose, but they might keep it vaguely close. Yeah, give me Sacramento there. Brooklyn Nets playing Dallas on a back-to-back, so give me Dallas -5.5. I look, the Nets almost on a bit of a streak, but I think Dallas will absolutely smash them in this one. Pistons at Rockets. Ooh, that's pretty cool. That's actually a pretty fun game, isn't it? Like, you've got Blake versus Harden, Fast Jimmy Harden. You've got Clint Capella versus Andre Drummond. Rockets are 8.5-point favorites. It is in Houston, so I might take the Rockets there. They might absolutely smoke them. And then finally, we've got two amazing ones here that I'm going to finish up with. Portland at Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the good land. How good is this? It's basically the top of the East versus the top of the West. You got Greek Freak versus Dame and CJ Nurk out there smashing against Lopez. And you got Eric Blowdry Bledsoe out there running around doing crazy shit. Blazers are 6-point underdogs in this. And you know what? I kind of tend to agree. I might take the Bucks -6 just because the Blazers on a back-to-back nearly gave up the ghost against the Knicks. They might have been looking forward to this game a little bit too much. But on a back-to-back, I can't really see them getting over the top of the Bucks. Even though I'd be tempted to maybe take the 6 points from the Blazers. But Milwaukee might also just smoke them, and I'm going to lean that way. Yeah, just how it goes. So Milwaukee, but that'll be a fun game, I'd say. And then finally, OKC at Golden State. So we've got LeBron going back to Cleveland, and we've also got Rusty versus KD as OKC visit Golden State. This is awesome. What a great game. Thunder are 1-point underdogs. And you know what? I think I'll take that. I think they might beat Golden State in this one. Golden State have been a bit rabbly of late. They lost all their games in Texas. OKC dropped a shitty one against Sacramento as they tried to work Rusty back into it. But I think Rusty comes back, starts kicking ass, and they absolutely pummel Golden State in an entertaining as hell game. You know what? I reckon that's what's going to happen. So, that's awesome. What a fun-ass slate of games we're going to have tomorrow. And you know what? That's it for today. So we'll be back tomorrow to wrap up all 12 of those games. The pre-Thanksgiving Day slate is going to be massive. So that's going to be really cool. We'll be all over social media while the games are going on. It's going to be awesome. So in the meantime, jump on iTunes, jump on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, whatever you do, however you listen to this here program, make sure you give us a rating and review, would you? That really helps out heaps. So that'd be really, really, really super handy. We'd be very thankful. Hey, Thanksgiving, get it? If you did that, huge thanks, meanwhile, to From Oslo for the intro and outro music on NBA Australia. Go check out the new band, though, House Hats. They are the best band in Australia right now. Their new single, I've Been Broken, is an absolute rip snorter. You hear it every day here on NBA Australia behind Yeah Nah. So go hit up Triple J, whatever radio station you listen to, and request House Hats, I've Been Broken. Awesome tune. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Six Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia, support Australian bands. And that is it for today. Stick around for a new Rowdy's Recos with Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads, for a massive recap day. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. All right, this is NBA Australia saying, later, Jose! Welcome in, friends. It's Ryan Rowdy Brockoff here. Just here to provide you with a pathway to a happy, stress-free life through some very handy life hacks. And, you know, I mean, who better than a fellow who's played basketball in Indiana, Russia, and now Dallas to put you on the right path to being stress-free? After all, I had batteries thrown at me, been called racist stuff from the stands in both Indiana and Russia. So I've really gotten good at this stress-free life stuff. So this week's Rowdy's Reco is, invest in some scented candles. It's not a girly thing. It's not an any thing. It just is. And scented candles can really relax you after a long, stressful day, whether playing basketball against that bugger Chris Paul or arguing with Cheryl in your office. They smell great, they give you a lift, and your significant other will appreciate the effort you've put in. And if that doesn't relieve stress, nothing will. So, perhaps pop a few scented candles around your abode and reap the benefits later. They're no hassles, they smell great, and I really like the sandalwood and cognac ones. And they'll definitely help relieve your stress levels. Day in and day out. Maybe run a bath. Have a big whiff. Doesn't that smell great? Okay, that's this week's Rowdy's Reco. I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, and I'll be back next week to help you live a stress-free life on NBA Australia.